The kingdoms of God
pass away one by one, but the kingdom of heaven remains. It is built on a rock, and the Lord is the King, and forever and ever He reigns. It shall stand.
Upon the Savior and my soul. 230. This world is not my home. This is a song based on hope, our hope of heaven. So let's, sometimes we sing some of these songs and we don't necessarily sing with the intent of the words. It sounds like we're dreading to go there sometimes. So let's sing it with the anticipation and hope and joy that it's written. Number 230, this world is not my home.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, pardon me, and now I onward go. I know you'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? From heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs are sweet as praise, drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home
and God. 622 in the service of my King. To the harvest fields I will gladly go in the service of my King, with a song of love to the faint and low, in the service of my King, in the service of my King, in the service of my King.
Forever, and the smile of the blessed Oh, Where the Soul Never Dies. 245.
He is my
going to do a little reading this evening. Now, can you hear me in the back? Can you hear me, Jen? Okay, she can hear me. One of the things we talk about a lot is how we love Jesus. And even the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus, Because He First Loved Me." So let's open up to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting with about verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that sounds real good. And then we'll read one more. "And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's where a lot of folks stop. And if you're of the Calvinists, one of their persuasions, you might say that God so loved the world that you don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to do any works. Because after all, people are depraved. Hereditarily depraved. So God died on that cross to save us, and all you have to do is believe. But the problem with that is, in James chapter 2, we read about works a number of times. And then going on from there, all you need to do is read 2, 3, 4 verses more, and then you're not taking something out of context. For instance, if we go to verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So really I want to focus on the love of God tonight, but the love that God has for mankind. And in so doing, we have to have some balance to go with that. "And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation," if they'd read a few verses further, "that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now I ask you, if anyone says they're hereditarily depraved, are they not making room to go out and sin? Because God loved them so much, he's going to cover them? The misuse of that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." No, friends, we've got to do more than just believe, because devils believe and tremble. "But he that doeth the truth," he that does the truth, action, "cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Also, in 1 John 4:19, "We loved him because he first loved us." Because he first loved us. And our love to him is a reaction. It's because it's based on all the goodness that he's done for mankind. 1 John 4, verse 10, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins." He loved us when we did not love him. He loved us when we were in the deepest of sins. And that's really where I want to go tonight. I want us to focus on the love that God and Jesus had for mankind. The love that we can think about, we can read about, we can know about, but we want to be in the image of Christ so that we can be a person more like Christ, to have more love in our lives, and true love towards our fellow men, to want to save people, to want to see them go to heaven. And that having been said, let's turn to Ephesians, because Ephesians is rich with this. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapters 2. Ephesians has a lot more in it, but it talks about the Jew and the Gentile having now are one in Christ Jesus. It talks about many things, but I'm going to focus tonight on the love that the Father and the Son had for mankind. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope, the calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So he has made the Jew and the Gentile both one in one body, the church. He's put away that middle wall of partition, the law of commandments, the law of Moses. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in itself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints at the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also build it together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Having read that, let's also read in let me find it here. Let's go over to Romans, the 8th chapter. And verses 1 through 14. Romans chapter 8. And the first sentence that we hit in the first statement is really great. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, as the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many of you are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that's in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. There's two things that produce repentance. And one is godly sorrow. And that's 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. The godly sorrow produces repentance. And also Romans 2 and verse 4. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And through these scriptures, and of course many other scriptures, we can see the goodness of God. And we can see people that had godly sorrow. So, and let's go over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so at this time, it's a short lesson, but it's one to think on. It's good to think, even as we sing our songs about the goodness of God, about his love for mankind, that he would send his Son even to a world that was deep in sin, that cared not for his message, that cared not for him. And we're reminded when we're on the Lord's table about the death of our Savior. And the goodness of God would want us to be, it should make us want to be like Christ. When we see that his love is something that we can hardly comprehend, and at times can't comprehend it. How many of you, if you had a next door neighbor that robbed you of your lawnmower, stole your car, stole things out of your house while you were gone and you knew it, could you forgive that person? That you could love that person? And has been said before from the Bible, do you pray for your enemies? Do you pray for those that despitefully use you? This is what God's Son did, even in death and then being raised again. I hope this has been a lesson that just simply by way of a reminder, that helps us to reappreciate the love of God for mankind. Not in the sense of John 3:16, as the Calvinists would say, and it stops right there and we don't have to worry about it. But we do. We should respond. We love him because he first loved us. And so I extend to you at this time the invitation. And if you're not a child of God, the steps are to hear the word, to believe the word, to repent. And the two things that produce repentance are godly sorrow and the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. And also that we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we fully believe that, that we're fully persuaded, and to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remissions of sin. And also in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're a child of God and you've gone astray and you're not in an area where you feel safe or where you like to be, we ask you also to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation as we stand and sing this song.